By the blood of Lord Jesus Christ, we confess our sins, and so we're clean with the blood of Jesus Christ from all unrighteousness. Oh, Father, what a privilege. What an honor you have granted unto us, Lord, to hear your word. Father, as I stand before your people this morning, I humble myself on your mighty hand, myself, Lord, stripping myself of every confidence I might yet have in my heart concerning my knowledge or ability to pray. I put all of my confidence in your mercy to be faithful. The grace of our Lord Jesus and the help of the Holy Spirit. Lord, in particular, I duck under the covering of myself, spiritual parents, pastor, and mommy. The Lord, your grace now flows through them, will flow upon me today to help me to teach, to preach, to minister effectively as an oracle of God. As the word goes forth, will bring refreshing unto them and to us today, that our word will back the power to cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to become more enlightened, revelation of Christ's life, and our emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, I'm asking the Lord today as I preach, Lord, and teach from your word, you will enable so that my speech today and my preaching will not be the enticing words of man's wisdom, but will come in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. That our wisdom, Lord, will not rest in the faith of men today, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Help me to be concise, help me to be precise, help me not to say things that are necessary. Help me to bring out of the treasure of your word things both old and new, as the scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've been in the book of Timothy for some time now, and we've been talking about this book. It's a book written by the Apostle Paul to his son in the Lord, by the name of Timothy. And we were able to stop talking about sonship last time we spoke. But I want us to start this morning again, because while I was preparing, God said that we emphasize one or two things before I go to the message proper. Let's open our Bibles this morning, book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll read from verses 1 to 6. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Like we said, this is one of the pastoral apostles. That's what it is called. You know, the epistles. You know, the book of 1 and 2 Timothy and the book of Titus. You know, and when Paul wrote this letter, it was to refute false teaching in the church, and also to help to set up public worship, and also to raise up leaders in the church, especially the Ephesian church. And as we go once again to this, into the word, don't let us look at it from an historical point of view, of Paul writing something to his son Timothy. But we are trusting not to open up the scriptures to us, so we can see the prophetic significance or importance of that, how we can apply it to our present life and circumstances. Praise the Lord. So we read, praise Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is what our hope. We're going to come back to that very soon. Next verse. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and Jesus Christ our Lord. Next verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mayest do what? Charge some that they teach no other doctrine. That means that there is more than one doctrine. Next verse. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which do what? Minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is what? In faith so do. Next verse. Now, let's say together, now, the end of our faith, or rather the end of the commandment, is what? Charity. That word charity there is agape, love. Let's say it again. Now, the end of the commandment is charity, love, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. That means the problem is not with the love, but with the heart. Because the Bible says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. To rightly divide the word of truth is not talking about your soul there. It's talking about your spirit. And you get born again. Next verse. Next verse. Verse 6. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto what? Vain jangling. Next verse. Designed to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whatever they affirm. Praise the Lord. Like I said earlier on, I believe God wants to go back a step to verse 1, where it talks about Jesus Christ, which is our hope. When I was preparing, the Lord began to speak to me that I should go back again and talk about this hope. If you notice in recent times, God has been bringing this issue about the hope to us. Pastor Megan ministered so powerfully some weeks ago, about an anchor for the soul, and Pastor spoke to us about it. And like we said earlier on, there are the hope that we have, that we want to talk about, really, you know, we have the hope of resurrection, the hope of the promises of this life, but we are zeroing down today on the hope of Christ in us. I say, Christ in you, what is the hope of glory? That scripture says, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. The Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. And I asked, I said, why? I was just asking, not in a, why do we go back to this again? I believe some of us in our hearts are beginning to say, where is the promise of his coming? That is, we have waited for such a long time. We've heard this message over and over, and it seems as if nothing is happening. And this way, Lord spoke to me. He told me something. He said, when he spoke to the Israelites in the wilderness, the church, he said that when he swore in his wrath and said that they would not enter into the land, you know what happened? The first year, they were still living, eating manna. Second year, third year, fourth year. So those people that misbehave must have said in their hearts that, where is the hope of his coming? Promise of his coming. Because you know what? God did not speak to the congregation. He spoke to Moses. So when Moses spoke to them and said, God has sworn in his wrath that you are not going to enter into that land. Some of them would have said that, that's Moses has come again. 1 year has gone, second, third, fourth, fifth, up to 39 years, they would have said, So you can imagine two sets of people, Joshua and Caleb, probably if they didn't keep on looking at the world, they would be weak in their faith. And then the other guys would be rejoicing, laughing at Joshua and Caleb, saying, Joshua, you are still following this man around. He said, we are going to die. See, this is first year, second year. We are still enjoying ourselves. Manna has not stopped. No, the quails have come. The cloud is still there. But the Bible says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. It shall surely come to pass. And you know why God is saying this? That right now the same thing is happening. Why does God, why is he bringing about this message about hope again? That my habit is an anchor of our soul. It's very simple. Because we are in the day of abounding iniquity. Matthew chapter 24 verse 12. It says that iniquity shall do what? Abound. And the love of many shall do what? Wax cold. He said, but God wants, does not want our love to wax cold. The Bible says, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. You see, the focus of iniquity in the air is to make our love wax cold. Love towards what? Love towards the Lord Jesus Christ and love towards the fellow our fellow brethren. Jesus Christ was talking to the Ephesian church. He said something. He said that thou hast left your first love. He said, repent and do the first works. Are you following me? So God does not want our love to wax cold. You see, your love can be hot, it can be lukewarm, and it can be cold. You see, when it's lukewarm, the Lord will come like he spoke to them in the Laodicean church. He said, you are neither hot nor cold. He was still warning them. By the time it gets cold, it's going to spew them out. Are you following me? So what are we saying? God does not want our love to wax cold. Neither does he want our hope to picture of that hope of Christ in us to grow dim. The brighter the hope, the stronger the faith to possess that hope. But it says, Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So if that hope begins to get dim, the faith to apprehend it will drop. That hope is simple. Christ in us is the hope of glory. It's a picture. You need to see yourself being conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I said, love towards God and love towards the people of God. Your love must never wax cold towards God and the things of God or the people of God. Let's open our Bible to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll look at verses 7 and 8. Peter was talking in context with the end time. Are we there? What does it say? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Let's read together. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore what? Sober and watch unto prayer. It is prayer that makes your love wax hot. Next verse. But what? And above all things, have what? Fervent love. Fervency means hot and boiling. Have what? Fervent charity amongst yourselves. For what? Love shall cover the multitude of sins. There's a lot in there, but we're not going to. Because Pastor has taught us how to walk in love. Pastor, if you see brother sin, a sin of the rest, you do what? Ask life for them. It's not emotional. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? Our love, our hope must abound in this day of abounding iniquity. Romans chapter 5 verse 20. I mentioned it. Let's look at it. Romans chapter 5 verse 20. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Moreover, the law entered that offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. There's abounding grace to counteract the abounding iniquity. That our hope, that hope that is set before us, can become brighter and brighter and brighter. The Bible says the path of the just is as a shining light, shining brighter and brighter unto what? The perfect day. That day which we are in now. Praise the Lord. How does that hope abound? It will not just happen. To abound means to multiply, like Pastor has taught us. The Bible says in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says, grace and what? Peace be multiplied, or do what? Abound unto you. Through what? The knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue, whereby I give unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this you might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is world through love. That's how your hope will abound. It's not just going to happen by wishing it. It's through these exceeding great and precious promises, the life of God. It's that life that begins to fuel by the power of the Holy Spirit, that hope, it becomes brighter and brighter and brighter unto what? The perfect day. So let's look at verse 2 as we begin to just to recap again. We spoke also about verse 2. We're talking about where Paul called Timothy his son. And we all know he wasn't married. But Timothy was his spiritual son. And we said that we do not start as sons. Potentially we are sons. But we start as servants, become princes, and then we become kings. That is how we grow. We're supposed to grow. What makes you a servant? It's not running up and down like matter. What makes you a servant is the nature that dominates you. You need to understand that. So you don't substitute brass for gold like Rehoboam did. Running around the whole place, going from camp meeting to camp meeting, and not realize that you are a servant. Let's open our Bible's book of John chapter 8. Verse 34. It's very, very important. I thank God for Pastor. I thank God for women for the teaching that they've given us. So you know what it means to be a servant. So you don't begin to run around your whole place thinking that you are a son. So-called son in the house. And yet you are a servant. Be dominated by the sin nature. No, you can do all that because of covering. When the covering is there, which is supposed to help you to grow, and you don't grow, you bring all that in helter-skelter, and you have to see the servant. John chapter 5, what does it say? Jesus answered them and said, well, it's the Lord himself talking. See the definition of a servant. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is what? The servant of sin. Mama was talking to us about lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. Bringing down to his daily aspect, what it really means. That lordship is only exercised when the life of God dominates your spirit, soul, and body. If it's the sin nature that still dominates you, it cannot be Lord. Because the Bible says that the flesh lusts against the spirit. The spirit, you'll always be doing something contrary to what your Lord says. And you know what happens? Hold on, before we go to the next verse. Jesus Christ says something. He said that the servant does not abide in the house forever. Let's read it. We need to understand. That's why you find out people leave. That is why Lot left. But you know what I was thinking? Eleazar did not leave. I was just thinking. When I get to heaven, do you know that Eleazar, God used him as a type of the Holy Spirit. God called a wife for Isaac. Probably that was what Lot was supposed to do. Because you see, Lot's name means veil. That's the literal meaning of Lot, the flesh. And we just said, and the servant abided not in the house forever, but the son abided forever. Next verse. Okay, yes. He said that the servant does not abide in the house forever, but the son abides in the house forever. At times I ask myself this question. Why do you have to stay? Why don't you leave? Many people that lead, they will say something like, but God has called me to do this, God has called me to do that. And they begin to wander around the whole place. And I ask myself, is it possible for you to get an inheritance without a father and a mother in the natural? It is your dad and your, in the natural, your mom, that will write your will and give it like Abraham did for Isaac. So if five people leave, why? Because they refuse to grow, to become princes. I follow him. So what happens? You see, they do not inherit. You see, but God does not want us to leave. Brethren, this is not Brexit. That you can leave. If you opt out, you know what happened? In one day, you know what happened? Go and ask from Lot. Or because he left. Praise the Lord. So become princes. We gave the example of Jacob. Bible says, as a prince, that has power with God and with men. I don't want us to turn that because of time. That's when you begin to dominate the same nature. As let me give an encouraging word. It does not matter wherever you are. If you look at the story of Jacob, when he was going and he slept on the way, God appeared to me, told Jacob something. That's what has encouraged me over the years when I stumbled. He said that, I will never leave you nor forsake until I have performed all that I have spoken to you. In spite, you see, Jacob, God knew that he had infirmities, but he had a desire to fulfill purpose and destiny. So, because of this, Jacob, I'm not going to leave you until I perform all I've spoken to you. So, let's be encouraged, guys. He just found me four, seven times, but what happened? God will raise him up again. Praise the Lord. The last aspect of what we'll talk about is kings. This is our destiny. We have to read that one. John chapter 18, verse 37. Bible says that God has made us kings and priests unto our God. But let's read it from John chapter 18, verse 37. When Jesus Christ was about to be nailed to the cross. And Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king again? Jesus answered, thou seest that I am a king. Well, let's say together, to this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. To this end were we all born. Can you imagine if this entire auditorium is filled with kings? That is God's design. That is his pattern. Are you following me? So, and we said something. You see, it's also a race against time. Like when you enter the secondary school, whatever, university, maybe you enter for a 5-year course or a 4-year course or whatever. So, the lecturer has a timetable. He must teach the people certain things before the exam comes, right or wrong. So that's the assignment of the lecturer. The student also must come for lectures and receive lectures and study to pass exams. That's why the Bible says something. Book of Proverbs chapter 29, verse 21. It says that he that delicately bringeth up his servant as a son shall have him to be what? No, he that delicately bringeth up his servant as a child shall have him become a son in the end. The end of every serious spiritual father is raise up sons. Thank God that Paul raised up Timothy, Titus, and all the other. What would have happened if he had not raised them up? And he locked him in prison. So you can see why the church went into the dark ages. That's what Mom was sharing with some time ago. That is God's avenue of continuity. That's why the Bible says that. It's a delicate job. You know, because oversight, the sin nature is like a surgeon. Yes, they have to, you know, skillfully help you get rid of the sin nature, the pride, you know, in such a way, and then sew you up again. I follow me, and then give you antibiotics so that the Bible says that lest any root of bitterness springing up defile many. If somebody undergoes surgery and they don't treat it properly, or the person that is doing the surgery has offense against that person, he will kill that person. He will just butcher him like no man's business. So if I see God, perhaps if you have not many fathers, there are not many, but you have many butchers, just killing the people of God anyhow. Not doing it in love. He that delicately bringeth up his word, servant as a child, shall have him to be a son. So it is the interest of the father to raise up sons. And it's the interest of that servant to become a son. Are you following me? That's why it's in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, I believe. It says that fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but what? Bring them up. They start bringing them up from servants. They become princes. And so they become what? Kings. Praise the Lord. So we start with the bold anointing. We graduate. The anointing begins to increase when you become a prince. Then when you become a king, God has the king that God has set over you. That's your oversight. And when you begin to enjoy more and more of that bold anointing, until you now finally do what? Inherit your own. Now today we are going to go to the book of, verse 2b. Let's read together. Unto Timothy, my son in the faith. Let's together. Unto Timothy, my son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's say together, grace, mercy, and peace come from God. He said, I can ask for life of my brother, but that life is coming from God via those in authority over you, through your spirit to them. But the origin of that life, that mercy, that grace is from God. So never get tired of hearing about God's grace, God's mercy, and God's peace. So simple. What does it mean? Pastor has taught us this. God's grace is unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. But Pastor said years ago, he said, it is God's compassionate disposition to give life to us on the inside. Goes to your spirit. That's what gets you born again. You know, that's what you say. In the favor is life. I am Psalm 30, verse 5. Don't have to turn there because of time. That's what makes God. Bible talks about the grace of life. Talking about husbands and wives, book of 1 Peter chapter 3. It's what makes God give you life on the inside. Let's say together, God's grace is God's compassionate disposition to give life to me on the inside. Very important. And we need grace. The Bible says that we should grow in grace. We should do what? Grow in grace. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. You see, we don't just receive the grace the first time ever again. You need to continue receiving grace, more grace, more grace. Or let me put it, more grace to your elbow. We say, but we don't understand what we say. Say, more grace to your elbow. Let's read together. Say, but do what? Grow in grace. And in the knowledge of what? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be glory, both now and forevermore. We have to grow in grace. When you grow in grace, you are growing in humility. And how we know we are growing in grace? The measure of a life of God upon your life begins to increase. I have heard Paul go to a place in that I've said, I, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. James says that he giveth what? More grace to the humble. I don't have time to turn to this scripture. I believe you all know them because we've been well taught. So that means you can have more and more of the measures of the grace of God. So how do we get that grace? I was able to get 3 points. They're nothing new, but I'll just mention them. How do we grow in grace? I said we grow in grace through humility. We increase in humility every day. You need to begin to check your gauge every morning. Am I increasing in humility or not? Because the more you grow in humility, the more grace comes upon you. He giveth more grace. That's what James chapter 4, verse 6 says. I quoted the earlier one. He giveth more grace. That's how we grow in grace. You see, that humility again leads to or is manifested in submission to authority. We can't get away from this fact, folks. We cannot. We may not like it, but it's just the fact. The Bible says Jesus Christ, when he went to the temple at the age of 12, they took him back and said, he grew in wisdom and in stature, having favor with God and men. What would have happened if he don't submit to Mary and to Joseph? Grace would have been withdrawn. But thank God, our Lord submitted. First, let's put the scripture behind it. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. So I'm not just talking, at least when you see it in the Bible, you understand that without submission, you can't grow in grace. Let's together. My son. How many people are God's sons here? Are you following? My son. Hear what? The instruction of what? Thy father. That means you need to know who your father is. So you don't leave here today and go somewhere and hear somebody preach and say, my father in the Lord. If you keep the instruction of a wrong man, and it's not your father, you're not going to get grace. You need to design your father. Say, my son. Hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law. Why did he use forsake the law of thy mother? That means there's always that temptation to forsake the law of your mother. The Bible doesn't just use words anyhow. That is very easy to despise it. Are you following me? And then my next verse. For what? There shall be what? An ornament of grace. An ornament of what? Grace. An ornament of what? Grace. Let's say like a minute. An ornament of what? Grace. Unto thy head. That's the anointing that comes from the head. And chains about thy neck. Why? Very simple. Because you obey and submit to your father and your mother. It's so simple. Honor your father and your mother. That it may be well with you. That you may live long on the earth. That means if you don't honor them, it will not be well with you. And you will not live long on the earth. If you read both Psalms 91, it says, I will honor him with long life, let satisfy him and show him my salvation. That honor comes when you submit. Then God can satisfy you with long life. Praise the Lord. We also get grace through knowledge. I mentioned it earlier on, so we don't have to go there. It says grace and peace be multiplied to you. Truth, what? The knowledge of. So that the three avenues to get grace, they all link together. Humility of heart, submission to authority, then through the knowledge of God. You need knowledge to increase in grace. Can you imagine if pastor has not brought the revelation of the life scriptures, would have been hindered in our growth in grace. Because grace brings life. So that knowledge of the life of God, you can access the life of God at a faster rate than you are trying to read the entire Bible. It is like they piped that water and brought it straight to your room. So it's available to brush your mouth. It's available to have your bath. Bible says, washing ourselves with the washing of water. To do everything you want to do. Unlike when you wake up in the morning and there is no pipe born water to your house. Then you have to walk like 4 miles to go and get water. You will get it too, but the water is too much. So why waste time? Why not humble yourself, submit to oversight, and then increase the knowledge of God? Praise the Lord. We give him the glory and all the praise. So today we also will look at mercy. These are things we know, but I believe God wants us to just touch them and trust him not to get to some things today. Mercy. Mercy is what enables God to give us life from outside. So simple. It's what makes God, you see, we cry, mercy, Lord, mercy. People ask for mercy. Do you know, when you ask for mercy, what you're asking for is life. It is what makes God give us what? Life from the outside. Psalm 147 verse 9. It says that his tender mercies are what? Over. Or let's look at it. His tender mercies are what? Over. Over means above. From outside. His tender mercies are over all his works. Praise the Lord. So that's how God gives mercy from us from outside. And how do you get mercy? Very simple. Be honest. Be honest to God. Speak the truth in your heart all the time. Proverbs 28 verse 13. What does he say? He says that he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But he that confesses and forsakes them shall do what? Have mercy. Let's read together. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. That's why a lot of people are still poor. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall do what? Have mercy. Once you confess and forsake, God grants that I will give you mercy. As the scripture I saw there is the book of Help Me Lord Jesus, Hebrews chapter 8, I think verse 10. He said, I will have mercy on all their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities I remember no more. What does that mean? You know, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says that if we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So I'm a bit fast, but there's no time to waste today. So if you now say, Lord, please have mercy on me, what does that mean? That means you say, Lord, please have mercy on me. What happens? Instantly, the blood of God goes to the operation, cleanses you from all sin and gives life to you. Because you have been honest. Open to, you don't believe me. Hebrews chapter 8 is chapter 8, verse 10 or so. 8 or 12. It says that I will have mercy on their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. 8:12. Say, for I will be merciful. Look, we are talking about mercy here. That means right inside mercy, the blood of justice is there. Say, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. So when God says, I have mercy upon righteousness, he forgives your sins. Are you following me? And their sins and their iniquities, I remember, no more. There is therefore no accusation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So when you are in a very difficult situation, just cry for mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. Jesus, when you can't even pray, Lord, I shall know me. I'm going to catch me too.
Instantly, the blood goes to operation, wipes away that sin, and this life. What would to God that David had asked for mercy? Just by, God have mercy on me. Problem below. But he did not. I know the story. So God wants us to exercise. Because before you can receive mercy, you must be honest. I should have gone to church today. Motishi, God. Yeah. Hey. Help me, Lord. What I'm saying? We are to look for God's mercy unto eternal life. Jude chapter 20, verse 21. They're looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So I do look for mercy with the eyes of your understanding, your mind. So in everything you are doing, you say, Lord, have mercy on me. Jesus' name. Mercy, Lord. Even if you don't say it, in your thinking, be asking for mercy. And they're looking for what? The mercy of what? Of our Lord Jesus Christ unto what? Eternal life. When you begin to look with your mind, you begin to think mercy all the time. God begins to give you mercy. The Bible says that the carnal mind is, and was it the spiritual mind is life and peace. Are you following me? So we have to look for God's mercy. And that mercy does three things. We just rush over it. It helps us so we are not consumed. The second, it helps you be faithful. And it causes you to triumph. We all know. But no one wants to waste too much time on it. Or maybe Lamentations 3:20, you can put it down and check. He said, His mercy, by His mercy, we are not consumed. The book of 1 Corinthians 7:25, he said that I have received mercy of the Lord to be faithful. And let's look at this one. James chapter 2, verse 13 in NIV. Many may not know this because the NIV actually uses word triumph. James chapter 2, verse 13, it says that because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. So why? Mercy triumphs over judgment. So always remember the day you were in difficult times and God showed you mercy. So when you two see other people struggling, maybe they are praying and they are sleeping, don't judge them. Just as if you didn't sleep before. You know, the Bible says in the book of James, this same James, he says something, he said, if any be overtaken in a fault, let them that are spiritual restore such a one with what? Meekness. Lest you be tempted. That means you are likely to be tempted. So God is giving you an opportunity to sow mercy. So when your own comes, you can obtain mercy. Go and ask from David. So when the brother stumbles, we are not condoning sin. But see, them that are spiritual, because you know, those that are not spiritual will judge and criticize. Bible says you devour one another. Let's consume one another. So show mercy. See, if you show mercy, like Pastor has been teaching us, if you walk in love with the first part of God when you see somebody stumble in any area, ask for mercy. Say, if any man see, once you see it, before you say anything, say, Lord, please have mercy. In fact, just say, Lord, have mercy on us. Because you are giving to yourself. Before you say anything, praise the Lord. And this mercy again, like I said in passing about David, although he made a mistake, that opposes us when our spiritual feet begins to slip. Psalm 94, verse 18. This is what he should have done. He wrote it, but at that time he didn't do it. He became too confident in himself. You know, that's what pride does. Read together. When I said, notice you must say, honesty of heart. You don't keep quiet about it. When I said, my foot slipped. He's not talking about physical work here. What thy what? Mercy, O Lord, help me up. So there will come a time in your life when you begin to practice this aspect of walking in the mercy of God, life of God, using blood, water, and spirit, that it just pound will no longer fall 7 times. Because once you see yourself begin to sleep, before you fall, you say, Lord, have mercy on me. He will uphold you again. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. Thank the Lord. So I want to use a type and a shadow to explain how mercy and grace operates in this end time in particular. We need it. So Paul knew that Timothy could not do this job without grace and mercy. He was supposed to face these people that were teaching heresy in the church. We also need it. Each time you think about mercy, think about Noah's ark. Genesis chapter 6, verse 40. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me to redeem the time.
Genesis chapter 6, verse 14. Are we there? Let's begin. This is the instruction that God gave Noah. He said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. You are the ark of God. God is supposed to carry the glory of God. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in it, in the ark. And shall do what? Pitch it what? Within and without. With what? Pitch. So pitch there represents the life of God. Because mercy gives life and grace gives life. So God is telling you, how to build your house, your tabernacle. He says, pitch it what? Within, grace, and pitch it without. The Bible says that, therefore, let us come boldly unto what? The throne of grace. Pitch it within, and then unto our obtain mercy. Pitch it without. To find help in time of need. So we have to pitch our acts within and without. So anytime you begin to shake, because there's a lot of shaking going on. You see, when you begin to shake and your feet begin, you go and check your grace level and your mercy level. That means your act is beginning to leak. God does not want it to, because if it leaks, you will sink, or else you will sleep. And it's not only you in the ark. All those under your covering. So God wants us to do what? In this time of abounding iniquity, to do what? Pitch our acts within and without. We pitch it within with pitch, the grace of God. And without, with the mercy of God. Then that ark will keep on what? Rising and rising and rising. So that will be the enemy meant for evil. God will turn out for our good. So that flood of iniquity, instead of it to drown you, it will raise you up. Praise the Lord. It's very, very important. And you know one thing, the last aspect, I said grace, mercy, and peace. So when you pitch it within and without, then you can have peace inside the ark. So what does peace mean? The peace of God is the fruit of a spirit that gives us the inner assurance in our hearts that God is in control of a situation. And it also acts as an umpire that we have the victory in any situation. That's the definition I was able to write down when I was preparing. What is the peace of God? It's not being quiet. It is what? It is a fruit of a spirit. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. That what is a spiritual force, is a fruit of a spirit that gives us the inner assurance in our hearts that what God is what is in control of a situation in spite of what is going around you. And it also acts as an umpire that we have the victory in that situation. When you are praying about a situation, you don't seem to have seen the answer on the outside. Check the peace. Let's put on scripture behind Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And amplify. Let's hurry up, please, Lord. Have mercy on me. I don't know how much time I have. Hey, Jesus, have mercy on me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Over there. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, divine requests, with thanksgiving, continue to do what? Make your wants known to God. Next verse. And what? God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and being content with this earthly lot of whatever sort that is. That peace that which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds, Christ Jesus. Let us go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Lord, have mercy on me. Let's hurry up, please. And let what the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be thankful. I said in Amplified. Amplified, please. Let's hurry up. And let what the peace, soul harmony which comes from Christ rule, and do what? Act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state, to which as members of Christ, one body, when you are called. What are we saying? You see, at times you say, I don't have a peace. I don't travel. I don't have a peace about that thing. That peace is acting as an umpire. Say, don't go. Then at times, everything, they are rioting, misbehaving. I say, go. That's why Jesus Christ, when he was going back to Jerusalem, going to raise the cross, he said, okay, you are going. They want to kill you. You don't understand. He said that. Why? Because the peace of God had kept his heart. Lord, have mercy on me.
So, let's move on to one more scripture. I'll just quote it. Romans 16 says, verse 20. It says that the God of what? Peace shall bruise Satan while shortly under your feet. So when you pray, it is that peace that will give you assurance of victory. Praise the Lord. And it's that peace that God wants to lead us in this day of abounding iniquity. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55 verse 12, it says, you shall go forth with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth singing. Verse 3. Let's read verse 3. What does it say? As I besought thee, let's together. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mayest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. I will introduce this. I think my time is almost up. We picked up on the next lesson. This is Timothy's commission from Paul. He told him what to do. He didn't say, when I leave, make sure you take so and so and so, or establish more branches. He told him exactly what to do. This is how sons ought to behave. This I besought thee. That means he was there before. That thou still, that abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mayest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. From that we can see that there are more than, that means there are different kinds of doctrines. What is, he said, I charge you. That word charge is one. Command, admonition, instruct them. That they teach no other doctrine. Oh, Jesus, I need to stop. No other doctrine. What are we saying? What is a doctrine? Let's just define it. I'll just highlight the kind of doctrine that we have in the body of Christ that we picked up on our last lesson. Praise the Lord. What is doctrine? You see, the Bible describes doctrine as wind and rain. That's a difference, though. That's the Bible describes wind. What is doctrine when you want to define doctrine? Doctrine is a set of ideas, beliefs, or teaching that are taught or believed to be true. That's what a doctrine is. A set of ideas or beliefs or teaching that are taught or believed to be true. So, and in studying the scriptures, I found there are three, the Bible actually reveals to us, there are three kinds of doctrines. Categorically, categorize them. It talked about the doctrine of godliness, it talked about doctrines of men, and then doctrines of devil. Let's say it once, let's say it together. We'll put scriptures behind and we'll stop. Let's say it together. We have doctrines according to godliness. We have doctrines according to godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. Doctrine according to godliness. Are we there? It says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is what? According to godliness. So God has his own doctrine. Then, the doctrines of men. Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. Quick. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ, from the remembrance of the world, why as though living in the world, are ye subjects to ordinances? Next verse. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Next verse. Which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrine of men. See, men too have doctrines. They can either be good or bad. Somewhere later in the book of Timothy, Paul told Timothy, said, you've learned my own ways and my doctrine. It can be good or bad. What makes a doctrine good or bad? If it's from where it takes its source from. If it takes it from the devil, it's bad. If it takes it from God, it's good. As the Bible calls it, sound doctrine. The last type of doctrine we have is doctrine of devils. Are you trying to tell me that the devil too teaches people? Yes. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. Now what? The Spirit what? Speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall do what? Depart from the faith. Why? Why? Giving who to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So be careful the kind of doctrine you take heed to. Some of them are seducing spirits.
And you know what? I'll just mention, we picked up in our next lesson. You see, for God to express his doctrine on the earth, he must do it through men. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 2, he said, my doctrines are distilled as the rain. If it does not distill as the rain from the person that is speaking, then it's going to be the other doctrine, which is wind. They're being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That is the sorry state of the church today. Hebrews chapter 30, I want to stop. I don't know why I can't stop. Hebrews 13 verse 9. The Bible calls them strange doctrines. Are we there? Be not what? Carried about. It's those doctrines. It's not rain, it's wind. He said, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be what? Established with grace. You see, that word established should bring you to the apostolic anointing. So if you are being carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, but it's not good. It will not establish you. Today, you are on the way to express way. Tomorrow, you are going to this one. You are not standing. You have been tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I know the aim of every wrong doctrine is to hinder growth into perfection. That's it. That's what Satan wants to do. He does not want the body of Christ to grow to the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So he uses strange children to preach strange doctrine. And the Bible says in the book of Psalm 144 verse 11, say, rid me of strange children. Let me add my own, that preach strange doctrine. The next verse says that, you see, he said that, whose right hand is the right hand of falsehood? If this does not happen, the next verse cannot happen. That our sons may be what? Plants grown up in their youth. And our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished, avarice in our palace. On. So when you come to pray for the Nigerian church, I begin to say and declare that God removes Saul and brings in David. Pray like you mean it. Or else what you are saying is that you don't want to grow into the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So you can see the sorry state of the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 verses 14 and 15. Lord, let me just stop. Let me just stop. Ephesians chapter 4. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto what? A perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Next verse. That what? We henceforth. That means before we were. That means before we are. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine from strange children by the sleights of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I will stop here today. I have to stop here today. There's so much to say about strange children in the church. There's so much to say that the ones that have hindered the growth of the body of Christ by strange doctrines. And God has a plan for them. Next time we begin to talk to the Lord, we're going to look at some of these strange doctrines. The doctrine of Balaam is a doctrine that is what? Rooted in covetousness. There's a Balaam in the land. Do you know Balaam's end? When they conquered those people, they killed him. But that dumb ass that spoke to him survived. Let's begin to talk to God. You know what Peter said? Peter said, a dumb ass rebuked the madness of the prophet. So you can see how God does not. In the book of Revelation, I didn't mention it. He says that you hold the doctrine of Balaam and Licolaitans, which I hate. He does not hate them, but he hates that doctrine. Because that doctrine is hindering God from receiving the precious fruit of the earth. So I hate that doctrine. That is rooted in covetousness. I hate it. There's time to hate though. I checked. Funny enough, I said, but God, I can't use mad prophet. Put it on the board, please, before we go. Be talking to the Lord. I'm going to stop now. I've stopped already. Put it on the board. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. First of all, chapter 2, verse 1. He was talking about the end time.
about false teachers. He said, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 2, 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you in the Nigerian church, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. You come to church on a Sunday like this, and you see somebody come, like Pastor said, not white beshito, that sounds sophisticated, muteru. That's what you use for people that die. But they now put that thing like this, and now tell the dodos in church, the first person to cross this thing, so and so will happen. So God hates it. God hates the selling of anointing oil. He hates it. He does not like it. For which we must make up our minds to hate what God hates. Amen. To love what God loves. So the harvest can come. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. It's a long patience for it. God is bringing this teaching now. Of the former and the latter rain. The floors, the Bible says, shall be full of wheat. And the vats shall do what? Shall overflow with wine, corn, and oil. I need to. Let's begin to talk to God. God hates it. God hates it. Don't partake of that nonsense. It hinders growth or stops it totally. God is not happy when his children come to heaven and they have not made their destiny. Understand it. How many of us will send your children to school? Then you will come out, maybe you have to say, "Daddy, they choked me." Then you are going to be happy. And all you have labored for all your life, and the business has been waiting for him, and things that you have planned for him to inherit, he can't inherit it. Save swords by fire. Now go to learn a trade. If you don't like it, and if you don't want to happen to any of your children, God is not happy when his children come home without making their destiny. That's not the plan, though. The plan is for you to enter school and graduate as a king, not to end up year in, year out as a servant. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bible says, mad prophet. Just put that one there as you talk to the Lord. Verse 15. As you talk to the Lord. The which are forsaken the right way and have gone astray. Verse 6 of 1 Moses, they've swerved. Following the what? The way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved what? The wages of unrighteousness. Next verse. But was what? Rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb are speaking with man's voice. Forbid the madness of the prophet. I said, maybe God doesn't know what he's saying. I want to check the Yoruba Bible. It says that Eroko ti ko le fun. O soro bi eniyan. O di woli na lowo. Ninu iwa asibere re. Mad! I didn't say it though. God has said it. Whoever tries to hinder your natural children from fulfilling their destiny that you paid for is mad. So take it to the Spirit. Let's talk to the Lord. We'll stop here today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Do not be tossed around to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Let the doctrine you receive be rain, not wind, so it can be established. Let us stand to our feet as we pray. Lord and Father of mankind, from the foolish way. Pure, pure love. just begin to repent if you've been carried about with strange doctrines. It's very simple. If you are not stable and you are itching to go out like Lot, and that strange doctrine is affecting your soul. But God does not want you to affect you again. He doesn't want you to run to and fro, but be tossed by every wind of doctrine. So he expects you to stay still and wait for the latter rain. It is coming already. And a former rain. It's going to be a deluge, folks. I can hear the sound of the abundance of rain. A deluge. Suddenly, you see sons of God come forth. Let us put our hands on our head and raise the other hand to heaven. We say, Heavenly Father, I confess our sins, and so we're clean with the blood of Jesus Christ from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of the importance and the urgency to abound in the hope of your glory. Because of the abounding iniquity, therefore I pray unto you, the God of hope, that you fill me afresh with all joy and peace in believing that I may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I also thank you for your mercy upon me. As I pray, I declare honor the covering of said spiritual fathers. And I say, lo, I come in the volume of the book. As it is written of me, I delight to do your will. Therefore, I receive by faith grace and mercy from covering to illuminate my understanding, that I recognize and know more clearly your doctrine in this time of latter rain. Father, I thank you for your mercies. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your grace. Lord, Holy Spirit, I thank you for your love and help. In Jesus, let's pray in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.